Have you ever had two fingers stick together with a super adhesive? If so, you know how difficult it is to separate them. And if you forcibly pull them apart, you might remove skin also. Now that is the picture that God used in pointing out the tragic nature of divorce. Two people who are glued together cannot be separated except with great pain. What did Jesus teach about divorce? A key passage in the New Testament teaching on divorce is recorded in Matthew chapter 19, verses 1 through 12. Certain people came to Jesus with the question, "Is it lawful for a man to put away or divorce his wife for every cause, that is, for any reason?" I suppose we could state their question in this way in our current situation, "Is no-fault divorce permissible?" Now, why did they ask a question like that? It was because of the lax divorce laws of that day. Some read that Moses permitted divorce for any uncleanness found in his wife. He had only to write her a paper saying that she was divorced, put it in her hand, and she had to leave that home. The question was, what unclean thing was sufficient for divorce? The liberal interpreters of the law defined unclean as almost anything with which the husband was dissatisfied. Any breach of social custom, even the slightest failure in keeping the house, the failure to bear children of the sex the husband preferred, that list could just go on and on. Divorce was requested for the most frivolous reasons under a broad interpretation of that law. The disciples were simply following the current social trend when they asked, "Is it in agreement with the law of God for a man to divorce his wife for any reason?" Now, Jesus' response to their question gives an excellent revelation on his view of divorce, and you can read of it in Matthew 19, verses 3 through 12. Note these elements in that conversation and let it instruct you on what should be your attitude toward divorce today if you would be like Jesus. First, recognize the prevalence of divorce. It is said of the women of the Roman Empire in the New Testament days that they did not count their age by their years, but by how many husbands they had married along the way. So the question asked by the disciples, "Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for any reason?" indicates that it was customary in that day. When Jesus replied that it was not God's design that divorce be practiced so conveniently, the disciples were very surprised. Jesus gave a strict interpretation of the reason for divorce, except it be for sexual immorality. The disciples were very surprised. They said, "If a man is bound to his wife for life with no other permission for divorce than sexual immorality, it would be better if a man never married at all." Now, second, emphasize the unity of marriage. To help the people understand the seriousness of divorce, Jesus took them back to God's intention in marriage. He said that God created humans, male and female, with marriage in mind. God announced that the desire for marriage was so natural that he expected a man to leave his father and his mother in order to stick to his wife. He declared that the two became one flesh in the marriage union. And that makes the unity of marriage a very real and serious matter. To break the marriage bond is most serious indeed. Have you ever had two fingers stick together with a super adhesive? If so, you know how difficult it is to separate them. And if you forcibly pull them apart, you might remove skin also. Now that is the picture that God used in pointing out the tragic nature of divorce. Two people who are glued together cannot be separated except with great pain. Jesus wants to spare us that hurt. Jesus reviewed the law of Moses concerning divorce and pointed out that God permitted Moses to write the divorce provisions in the law only because of the sinfulness of men's hearts. You see, it was God's way to protect the innocent party. Divorce is by divine permission, therefore, not by divine intention. God says you may divorce, not that you must divorce when your partner errs seriously. But note that Jesus distinguished between the divine intention and the divine permission. Now remember that God does not approve everything that he permits. Hear the words of Jesus. Moses, because of the hardness of your hearts, suffered you to put away your wives, but from the beginning it was not so. Now what does that mean, from the beginning it was not so? It might mean that was not the way that Adam and Eve was married. It might mean God never approved of divorce, not even since the beginning began. It might mean that divorce was not recognized by God until Moses wrote its provision in the law. But I prefer to understand it this way. God did not design marriage in such a way to make divorce easy. He designed it to be permanent. Divorce is his permission, but it is not his preference. It is important that in our divorce-afflicted generation, we distinguish between God's permission and his intention. Fifth, dramatize the seriousness of divorce. Jesus warned that adultery follows divorce. The man who divorces his wife and marries another commits adultery. The man who marries the divorced woman commits adultery. Now today we call adultery an affair. But really, is adultery all that serious? Well, listen to this reading of Leviticus chapter 20, verse 10. The man that committeth adultery with another man's wife, even he that committeth adultery with his neighbor's wife, the adulterer and the adulteress shall surely be put to death. Yes, adultery is so serious a matter that God placed the death penalty upon it. How could Jesus have warned against it more seriously? Jesus gave a strict interpretation of the law regarding divorce. He identified the uncleanness of the wife, Deuteronomy 24:1, as sexual immorality, the most serious of all sins against the marriage contract. Jesus indicates that he expects a divorced woman to marry again. In Matthew 5:32, he said, "The man who divorces an innocent wife causes her to commit adultery." Now, how could divorce force her to adultery? Because she would marry again. She had no choice. She could not make her own way in that society without the protection and provision of a man. She would remarry. Therefore, the husband who divorced her would force her into another marriage, hence to commit adultery. In Mark 10:11, Jesus said, "Whosoever shall put away," that is, divorce, "his wife, and marry another, commits adultery against her." Now note the phrase, "commits adultery against her." That indicates adultery is not only with someone, it's also against someone. The commitment of marriage is made to one's mate. Now to break that commitment and to be joined to another marriage partner is to sin against the person to whom the original commitment was made. Do you get the impression that divorce is very serious in the teachings of Jesus? It is. We can pass all the no-fault, easy divorce laws we please. That does not change our Lord's attitude toward divorce at all. It is much better to work toward maintaining your marriage than to hasten toward ending it. Father, we know you instituted marriage for our good, and we admit that we have sinned seriously against you in perverting your original design. I want to confess that sin in behalf of our generation, and I ask you to help us as we work toward true Christian marriages and stable homes in our society for Jesus' sake. Amen.